Hey there, this is Seth from Quinn Media. I'm here to welcome you to our first ever MMA podcast. My buddy and I, Farhan Armand, we recorded this to preview the UFC 171 fight card. A little backstory on this guy. I've known him for 10 years now. We served together in the United States Marine Corps. We've been avid MMA fans for as long as we've known each other. I know he was before and I was before. But when we got together, you know, it's a lot of what we talked about. So I've been looking forward to bring him to Quinn Media and to the world of MMA podcasting for quite some time. So this was quite a pleasure for me. Before we get into it, I just want to let you know that you can find me on Twitter at Fearless Fandom. You can find him at Farhan Armand, and you can find Quinn Media at Quinn Media. Also, right now, we are doing something at quinnmedia.com. We're doing a bracket challenge where we're giving away about a $200 gift package for the winner of the bracket challenge. All we ask you to do is head over to quinnmedia.com, and there's some links for instructions, and it'll tell you what you need to tweet out and what you need to be doing as far as following and retweeting and liking and all of that. And it'll give you instructions to go over to ESPN.com where we're holding the bracket, fill out your bracket, and have a shot at that prize pack, which includes an NBA 2K game as well as a lot of swag from different video game worlds and some other really cool stuff. I also think we've thrown in a free lunch at Chipotle coupon, which is pretty awesome to me. I don't know about you guys, but I freaking love Chipotle. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and just let the podcast speak for itself, and then I'll be back to wrap it up. All right, thanks a lot. Hey, welcome to the inaugural. It is the inaugural MMA podcast here from Quinn Media. I'm here with my boy, Farhan Armand. We've been friends for many years, did a little bit of service together. Haven't talked to you in a while, man. I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, man, doing really good. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure being here.
And not a problem. This guy right here, people, is an MMA genius. We've both been big fans for a very long time. He studies it way more than I do, so I thought, why not bring him on, and we'll talk about the upcoming UFC 171 card and get moving on with that.
I'm not a genius, Seth. I've just been watching people punch each other in the face since the days of VHS. That's all.
You know what, man? I think it is genius to watch people punch each other in the face and then attempt to reenact it yourself when you're drunk on the lawn of somebody's barrack house.
Who would do that, though?
Oh, man. Back in the day. Anyway, so this card, to me, I wanted to start by asking you a question. And I didn't get to it before, so we're going to do it right now just to start this off. With the way UFC is packaged today, you know, they have the Fight Pass, they have Fox Sports 2, Fox Sports 1, Fox, and then obviously still their pay-per-view. There's always different levels of cards, and I feel, as a critical viewer who's been watching since only the pay-per-view days where that was the only way to watch it, and then tapes, like you were talking about. I have a tendency to break down the cards and look at them like, well, what's this worthy of versus how are they promoting it? And obviously this card is a numbered pay-per-view card. And looking at the card, you know, I don't know if I feel that it's worthy of being a pay-per-view. I don't know. How do you feel about that?
There's so many cards. There's a lot of networks providing content now. So it's if you've been watching as a casual fan or just as a hype up fan, you know, we would wait once a month just really pumped up just to watch this one fight. Now there's fights twice a week, definitively once a week, and it's just the UFC now for the most part. Now Bellator does their own thing as well, but it's really kind of the UFC right now. So you're allowed all of this content now, and it might take a little bit of time for the regular fan to just, you know, understand what's going on, but it's great for the sport to grow and have this content on multiple means and multiple sources.
You know, I agree completely that it helps the sport grow, and it's great to have the content out there the way it is. But I guess what I was kind of getting at is, do you think that like this card, for instance, you're absolutely right. You know, we'd wait a whole month for that one card, and that's all you'd get for a whole month was that one card. But also the guys that they had on that one card were always like, at least it feels like now that they were all big names, at least, you know, two, three, four fights down the card. And today, even with all the content and everything, you know, looking at this card, and I'm not saying these guys aren't names, actually. I mean, you got Jake Shields and Diego Sanchez on this card, you know, in the third and the fourth fight. So it's not like these guys aren't known. But I just wonder if maybe it hurts the product a bit because you become so overly critical that if you don't have a star on the pay-per-view card, that people aren't buying it.
Yeah, it really depends. The pay-per-view aspect, I'm not sure what their numbers and how it's changing, but it seems like if the pay-per-view hit isn't, if the main fight isn't something like GSP versus Jesus or something like that, or it is, people aren't tuning into it as much anymore. And you know, the casual fan probably doesn't know who Robbie Lawler or Johnny Hendricks is. They're gonna know who GSP is. They're gonna know who even John Jones, Anderson Silva is. So I get what you're saying in a sense of like, oh, okay, who the fuck is Johnny Hendricks and Rob Lawler if you've been not really introduced to mixed martial arts for so long. But the great thing is if you aren't the casual fan, you watch on tomorrow and you watch Robbie Lawler and Johnny Hendricks fight, and it's an amazing fight, and you're like, holy shit, I don't even know what the hell that is. That brings.
Yeah, and I think tomorrow's fight actually will be I mean, like, you know, I know who Robbie Lawler is, and I've seen him fight many times, and I'm excited to see it. And I think even people that have only started watching in the last year or two know who Johnny Hendricks is because he's the guy that got robbed to a lot of people, you know what I mean? Like, he should be holding the title anyway, kind of situation. And that's no slight on GSP, but you know, judges in the UFC just suck these days. And that's a whole nother topic for a whole nother time. But I guess, like I was getting to overall, you know, I feel like when I look at this card, I would rather see this particular card like on Fox, you know, not Fox Sports, but actually, you know, take the top three or four fights and put them on Fox on prime time, because I think all of these fights have the potential to be pretty explosive outside of the Jake Shields thing, because if Jake Shields has his way, he's just gonna lay on you and pretend like he's in the lamest porno ever made.
And despite even the Jake Shields aspect, and despite like the quality or whatever you want to call it as this card, there are six welterweights on the main card that are all top 10.
That's true. That's true.
Technically top 10 fights. So you're seeing the elite, the most ranked, whatever, however you deem being ranked is, but you're seeing the six fighters almost at the optimum level at this weight class, and I think that is definitely worth a pay-per-view.
You know, to be honest, I really hadn't even thought about it in that perspective, because I know for years since Pride, you know, disappeared, which it feels like it did. You know, the older hardcore fan that watched back in the day has been clamoring for a tournament to come back, and I don't think it ever will. I don't think that format will ever live again. I mean, maybe way down the road when we don't, you know, but this kind of, now that you've mentioned it, it kind of feels like maybe that it's sort of like that, because you put all those guys from the same weight class on the same card like that for a vacated title as it is. I mean, obviously they have the two guys that are fighting for the title, so it's not like anybody can win it, but everybody tomorrow night, everyone on that main card will jockey for position for that title. And yeah, so you're right. You know what?
Okay, I didn't even think about it as a tournament, and the tournament thing is definitely not going to ever exist anymore. With
Exactly.
not existing anymore, you can't do a tournament with steroid testing nowadays. So, there's six top 10 welterweights fighting on this card tomorrow on the main card. Three of them will probably fight for the, or two of them will probably work its way up to the title fight in the next in the end of the year or so. So it's interesting, and it's cool. I didn't even think about it like that. You're going to see this progress. Like maybe 6 months, you're going to kind of see the same guys on the same card fighting for the title.
Yeah, that you absolutely are. Because I mean, somebody from this card will be fighting logically for the title at the next time the title is defended, and quite possibly someone else from this card will be fighting the next time. You know, like, so this is actually a really good showcase of a division that they kind of need to showcase, because whether or not GSP actually does come back, his time as champion is likely, you know, pretty much over. And if not completely over, then it's at least close to being over, because like I said, even if he did come back and say win it back, he's not going to hold it for all that much longer, because he's just reaching the end of his career.
Well, that's up to him. We don't know. We don't know what's really going on with him. He finally admitted recently what his main for retiring man was his concussions and his memory loss and stuff like that. And so it wasn't all the other personal things that was everyone was saying, but it is legitimately health issues for the most part. So, you know, whether that causes him to step away or whether that causes him to just take some time off and come back, who knows? But definitely for the next year, you're going to have to worry about these other guys primarily on tomorrow's card fighting for the title for the next year or so.
You know, and not to get too much onto GSP, but since it's been brought up, I did want to mention that his take on drugs in MMA, like the way he's been very vocal about the use of drugs in MMA, and obviously steroids being the main or performance enhancing drugs, however you want to put it. I know that he had a real issue with the drug testing before his last fight and how he wanted things to go. And he did the whole thing. The UFC didn't support him. And then he now, you know, just recently I read another interview where he's talking about how it's a serious problem in MMA and a lot of people are using drugs. I don't necessarily think that's something that surprises anyone. And I don't know, I without getting into a huge philosophical discussion on it, because I think that can take up an entire hour at least. You know, I do feel like it kind of sucks that he leaves and he vacates the title after being such a hero for so long and feels like it's his time to kind of shit on the product.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's just being vocal with things, and maybe he's just agitated and angry, kind of like a disgruntled employee maybe, and he's just getting everything off his chest. So I wouldn't necessarily take everything that he's saying for full value, but
Chris Lieben.
Yeah, you know, to come from it from an athlete's point of view, and you have to understand how you just put your body into this absolute hell for 6 months, and then the 6 months are significantly harsher than actually getting into the fight that you're going into. And you can call it cheating, you can call it whatever you want, but ultimately these people are human fucking beings, and there's so much you can do to the body. There's so much you can do specifically with this activity. And if you can do something like TRT, if you can do something like fucking chiropractor or doing the stem cell stuff or whatever it is, it's what's your definition of cheating and performance enhancing is. You ultimately have to take care of your body. And if that decision comes from taking TRT or whatever it is, it's your body and you should have the choice to do this stuff. You know, it comes into this morality issue. Is it's not okay to do marijuana, but it's okay to take this doctor prescribed OxyContin, you know?
Right.
Where are the lines at, and what can you do and what can't you do? And now it seems like you cannot do TRT for the most part, with the athletics commission saying that, you know, you can't do it.
Yeah, I had seen something recently that they were showing the percentages of other sports that have gotten approval for that versus the UFC. Like the percentages of guys that have gotten you know, approved for that treatment in the UFC is way higher than any other professional sport, which I found to be interesting. But all right, man,
you're beating your body up pretty bad being a fighter, you know. Oh,
absolutely, man.
There's nothing else I can even think of that comes close to the amount of injuries, your body taking as much damage as you do with training martial arts for your whole body. You know, you can say like, yeah, being a baseball player completely destroys your shoulder, but being a mixed martial arts fighter can destroy your shoulder and destroy your legs and destroy, you know, a lot of other things. So I think maybe, you know, I'm not for or against anything, but I think ultimately you should be able to choose what you want to do to your body. And if that comes from, you know, risking maybe doing something that's illegal for your sport, you know, if you're not cheating, you're not trying to win. I think Mayhem Miller awesome article about that. If you're not trying to cheat to try to win, like, what are you trying to do? Like, you know, are you trying to hide what you're ultimately trying to do? You're not fucking getting in the cage for a paycheck. You're not doing that for money. You're not doing that for fame. You're doing that because that's what you really want to do. And there's nothing else. You can't dabble with the idea with being a mixed martial arts
fighter. Well, not at this level. Not at this level. I mean, I'm, you know, once, if you're at this level of the sport, especially now with the popularity and the money and everything else involved, you can't just dabble in the UFC. That's not possible. Like, you're absolutely right. It has to be what you want to be doing. You want to be putting your body through those training, you know, the training camps and everything else to be ready to get punched in the face and to punch back. Anyway, man, we're gonna move along from this. That was a nice little conversation about drugs, which I always like getting into.
Drugs.
let's hit up this first fight. I'm just gonna skip trying to say this dude's name and call him OSP because I know, like you said, that's how he's known. And he's fighting a guy who took this fight on short notice, Krylov, would you say Krylov?
Nikitov Krylov, yeah.
Nikitov Krylov. All right, man. So go ahead and explain to the listeners here why this man has to take this fight on short notice.
Yeah, Nikitov Krylov took this fight, I think, within a couple weeks or at least a month's notice. OSP's original opponent was going to be Thiago Silva, and about a month ago, early February, Thiago Silva got into some type of legal issues. He he kind of went into a gym and threatened to shoot 25 people inside a jiu-jitsu gym, including his wife was there, apparently a strange wife. I don't know. It's a bit much. SWAT team was involved, and you know, it got pretty crazy. Yeah, there's some issues with Thiago Silva, so he was ultimately dropped from the card. So Nikitov Krylov was quick notice. But this guy is really young. I think he's 22 years old. He is 16-3. All of his fights except one against Sao Pelele, his second to last UFC fight, has ended in the first round, whether losing those three times or winning. So that's a lot of fights for a 22-year-old. We were talking about this earlier too. You know, you really don't know who is going to win this one. This guy is hungry. He's young. He's getting put on a main card fight. You know, he can make his name out there really quickly by showing something. He's had a couple good fights. He's 3-4 in his last four fights. 3-1 in his last four fights. The last loss was about 2 years ago in 2003 against Gegard Mousasi, and that was actually a pretty close decision loss. He's coming from Strikeforce. He's also hungry. He's a legitimate athlete. If you've seen what he looks like, he looks like a mixed martial arts fighter. He doesn't look like Joe Lozon or something like this. This dude, you know, he's strong, he's got a lot of talent, so this could go either way.
All right, man. Like you said, it could go either way, so I'm not even going to bother with predictions on this particular fight, but I am going to say that a guy coming into a fight on short notice, it is so unpredictable because you don't know what kind of shape he was in when he took it. I mean, he's not going to say no. It's the chance at a main card fight. like you don't say no. So you know you're going to take it no matter what kind of fighting shape you're in and no matter how, you know, ready you are to actually get into the octagon and fight. So that's one completely unpredictable factor. And then you put in the fact that this guy has had so many fights end in the first round. That, I mean, that is the definition of crazy. So you get a crazy man who's taking a fight on short notice. Like, all I know is I'm not going to step away from the TV thinking that I got time to come back, catch the second round.
Yeah, definitely. This is going to be James Toney versus Randy Couture.
That was literally one of the worst MMA fights I've ever seen, by the way.
I think that was worse than a couple weeks ago when Daniel Cormier fought Patrick
Helms. That was extremely disappointing.
It's the most epic shit talking I've ever seen from someone in my life, and it wasn't backed up at all.
Like, not even a little. Like, not even a little. That dude had me believing in him, man.
I was doing like, well, maybe he could beat Daniel Cormier. He's really confident.
And then he made him look silly.
You gotta back up that shit talking. Like, if you're Nick that's shit talking. Okay, yeah, all right. You can talk all that shit all you want. Even if you still lose, you're the baddest motherfucker on this planet. But I don't know what happened.
All right, so we'll move on to the next one here. I'm on board with Shields. That's all I'm going to say, and I'll let you describe the rest of it.
Nick Shields is fighting Hector Lombard. This is Hector Lombard's second fight at welterweight. His last fight was his welterweight debut against Nate Marquardt, and he had a really, really good fight, knocked out Nate Marquardt. He's had a bit of a rocky road entering the UFC, kind of had this huge hype on him when he first entered, and he lost against Tim Boesch in a really, you know, not really glamorous showing with his first fight. Came back, knocked out Pulgar Polaris out. Excellent fight. Came back, fought Yushin Okami, which was actually kind of a good fight. You can kind of say either or who won that one, but it was a pretty good showing. But his last fight against Nate Marquardt, it seems like he's figured out this weight cut at 170. He looks good. He seems like he's really fast. Maybe this is his road to maybe getting a title shot very shortly. Jake Shields also looking pretty good in his last three fights. Fought Damian Maia in his last fight. Really showed what he does. You know, Jake Shields goes in there, you know what he's gonna do for his last 20 fights. You know what Shields fight's gonna be, but it's effective. You know, and he really did a number on Damian Maia, taking him down, controlling him, punched him up a little bit, and actually kind of beating Damian Maia on the feet as well.
You know, you made a comment about the weight cut. Historically, it feels like dudes that change weight classes that need to cut more or whatever have a tendency, you know, the first fight or even two, you know, they may have good showings and they may win their fights, but they're still kind of working on that weight cut. And it's usually a third or the fourth fight if they are sticking with that weight class where their bodies have adapted and that's when they look their best. It does seem like when dudes switch weight classes, it takes a couple fights, because you're talking about months, you know, and you got to retrain your body and everything else. But when they figure it out, when it clicks, if they're moving upward, you know, talent wise and training wise, then once their body clicks, they're going to switch into that next gear. So I'll be looking for that to see how he handles the suffocating, I'm going to call it suffocating, and I'm not even going to call it offense because it's barely that, but the suffocating style of Jake Shields.
it's called it in the locker room during wrestling practice.
So, yeah, they don't call it that, man. All right, so aside from the main event, I got to say this, the next fight, I am super excited for. Miles Jury is going to walk in there with an animal, Diego Sanchez. Just based on the weigh-ins today, Diego looks like he's back to the nightmare rather than the dream. I was kind of hoping that Rogan would bust out nightmare instead of calling him the dream, but he didn't. I don't quite understand why Diego felt he had to change his whole, you know, shtick. But he looks like the nightmare, dude. He was jacked up and angry looking. And if you look at the picture of the two of them doing their little face-off pose with Dana White in his pink sweater, Diego just looks like he wants to eat the dude for lunch, and he's just kind of sitting there like a little scared. So obviously I don't honestly believe he'll be scared going into the cage tomorrow, but I'm going Sanchez all the way on this.
You think Diego Sanchez is hyping himself up when he's making a smoothie or something, and he's like, yes, strawberries.
Dude, I believe he is, man. I believe Diego Sanchez does everything fucking hyped. And, you know, I dig that mental attitude, man.
That's a lot, man. I'd be gassed out walking in the cage if I did that shit.
That's a good point. And I think he's been criticized for that before, too. That, you know, he doesn't, like, he burns his adrenaline, you know? He burns off his adrenaline before the bell even rings.
No, man, he's had the past 5 or 6 fights become fight of the night. He's been performing pretty well despite winning or losing and dropping from different weight classes. He's performing, but, you know, I don't know. I think that's just him. I think that's just what he's doing, you know? I think he's been
doing it long enough. We can say that.
I think that's just him, and he's gonna have a. I don't know. This is just a kind of interesting fight with this Miles Jury guy. He's a young guy as well. He's coming up. He's 13-0. Kind of doesn't seem like Diego Sanchez's realm. Like, you know, you could say Diego Sanchez has been fighting top 10 dudes for like fucking 10 years. You know?
So. Yeah. Yes.
I don't even know what to say with this fight. It should be an interesting matchup.
Do you think that, okay, I don't know enough about Miles Jury. I'll admit a little bit of ignorance to that. Do you think that maybe this is a kind of a setup on Diego to where they're putting a guy in who's undefeated, who they want to see if he's a legit title contender?
Yeah, maybe just Diego wanted to fight. And they just put this in front of them, and that was that. You know, I don't know how some of these things work sometimes, but it's on the main card, so it should hopefully be good. Diego comes out to fight too. You know, he's had these fight of the night, legitimate, not just thrown at him, not just like debatable. These have been the fucking most exciting fight of the nights the past 5 times. His last fight against Gilbert Melendez was just an incredible fight.
Yes, it was.
That was close as well. Despite losing that fight, you could say, fuck, man, maybe Diego Sanchez kind of won that fight. So we'll see where he's going. It seems like he's sticking at lightweight too. So we'll see how this one plays out.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm not going to like change picks. I said, I'm behind Diego. I'm going to stay behind Diego, but this does kind of feel like maybe it's a fight to use professional wrestling terms, to kind of put the young guy over, because Diego's still a name, you know, and like you said, he's put on fights of the night. So if a young guy undefeated can come in and go toe to toe with an every card fight of the night guy, man, that puts him right at the top of the list for next in line.
Absolutely. And just jumps him up to fight someone caliber and not dropping them down. So, you know, these guys, like we were saying, they're not doing this for fun. So if you get in the cage with Diego Sanchez, you know what the fuck you're going up against.
Yes. And while we're at the Diego Sanchez thing, I'm just going to go ahead and say this for all of you out there that are going to listen to this, that are generally our professional wrestling crowd. Diego Sanchez had the yes chant before Daniel Bryan was even in the WWE. When he was still Bryan Danielson hanging out at Ring of Honor, Diego Sanchez was coming out doing his own yes, 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 all the way to the cage. And as he got in and everything else, and people used to do it with him. So if you watch tomorrow night and you're thinking, oh man, this guy's stealing this from Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan's the most over wrestler in the world. He's not. He took it. Get over it. Move on. And with that, I'm going to move on.
Wait a minute. Do you think Brian does the yes thing at his house, making a smoothie and fucking his wife.
I do not. No, I do not. I think Daniel Bryan braids his wife's, well, his soon to be wife. She's his fiance. I think he braids her hair and makes her tea. I don't think he's not Diego Sanchez screaming yes as he's vacuuming, you know.
Just saying wrestling's fake.
Aw, dude, I'm not going there, man. We need to move on real quick. All right. So I'm not going to call this the co-main event because I hate that term very, 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 very much. Carlos Condit, I'm sure you have plenty to say about the guy. I don't know, man. I've watched Carlos Condit fight many times. I'm kind of hot and cold with him. Kind of like I think he's hot and cold as a fighter. Like sometimes he looks like he wants to finish fights and he's really intense and ready to go. And other times he fights to not lose. And that style just bugs me. So, I'm actually going to go ahead and pick against him. And I'm going Tyrone Woodley.
Carlos Condit in his last fight he knocked Martin Kampmann the fuck out.
Yeah, but Martin Kampmann,
I don't have to say about Martin Kampmann. This is Martin Kampmann. He is a legit fighter. Like he is top 10. He's fought top 10 dudes all of his time in the UFC for the most part. He knocked him out. And I think just before then, his last three fights have gone to decision. So it's the Nick Diaz fight, the GSP fight, the Johnny Hendricks fight has been gone to decision. 14 of his fights, he's knocked out people. 13 of his fights, he's submitted to people. And the only other two he's won have been decisions. So this, his record shows that he comes out. I think maybe within the past year or so, maybe something is causing him to.
It's the title, man.
Getting into these title shots and getting maybe different mentalities or whatever it is, but. You know, his record shows he finished fights. And,
fair enough. I just think with the title, and I think we talked about this before going on the air. I had heard or read, maybe just skimmed it on the internet, that the winner of this fight was going to be next in line for the title shot. And if that's the case, I think it is the title. I think it got into his head that he had to fight more like GSP and fight not to lose rather than to fight to win. Because he was deadly, dude. I know you're rattling it off, and you're absolutely right, and that's why I liked him so much. He was a deadly fighter, but something changed, man. Like he could finish fights that he didn't. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he couldn't have finished GSP, but you know, I get aggravated with the fights that go that get close to the title or for the title, and all of a sudden it turns into. You know, fight not to lose.
Yeah.
And that's why so many title fights recently have gone to these decisions that are almost controversial because people they lose that mentality to go out there to win because like we were talking about the dude at the very start of the card, the Krylov guy, you know, if you go in the first round and you're going to either win or lose in the first round, that's not how you win titles, right? Like it's just like other sports, man, defense, you know, wins championships, but it also makes for less than entertaining fights. And this is a combat sport. So, you know, I think that as a fighter, you lose fans because when you turn from an exciting fighter to a guy who just doesn't want to lose. So I hope he comes out and with that killer instinct, man. But I think if he doesn't, I think he loses his fight.
Yeah, and that's what you said. I think he is in this title mentality. That's what he was saying in the countdown. He's like, I want GSP belt, GSP's belt. That's all he kept saying for most of that. So he wants to be the champion. That's all he wants. He doesn't want to be the number one contender. He doesn't want to be the interim champion. He wants to be the UFC welterweight champion. And you know, you're right. When he fought against GSP, that was for the title. It went to decision. When he fought Johnny Hendricks, that was a title eliminator. It went to decision. You know, his last fight was just a fucking fight, and he knocked Martin Kampmann the fuck out.
It was just a fight, dude.
Tyrone Woodley, tomorrow, you're right. This is a welterweight title eliminator. So we'll see what he does. And, you know, he always can finish fights, and whether he can finish Tyrone Woodley or not, we'll find out tomorrow. Tyrone Woodley knocked Josh Koscheck the fuck out.
Boom.
the last fight too, and that's saying something as well.
Yes, it is. Absolutely is.
Oh, he had a close blue balling session with Jake Shields, but he also knocked Jake Huron the fuck out in his last fight. So it's showing that he's got huge hands. He's not just a wrestler. He has power and one punch knockout power. And you know, even when he was fighting in Strikeforce, he was fighting guys like Paul Daly. Like he went to one with Paul Daly. That should show something about him. And that was about 2-3 years ago. So,
So that fight, you know, this fight right now, the Condit Woodley fight, that fight is to me is going to be kind of the crux of the UFC. Like it kind of encapsulates what I think is one of the determining factors of the UFC's future. When you get a fight like this where two guys are brutal, they're just devastating fighters. They can destroy you. They knock dudes out. They finish fights. That's what they do. But then you say the winner of this fight gets the title shot. So now it turns into, are these two dudes going to go in aggressively, or are they both going to sit back and wait for the other to make a mistake? And do you know if it's a 5-round fight?
I actually don't know that.
Okay. Well, I assume it isn't. So let's just go with the assumption that it isn't. You know, 3 rounds go, like, those go quick when you're playing, you know, the counter game, as it were. So what I'm hoping for is one of these dudes to come out super aggressive and end the fight.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see.
They both have the capability of doing it, and they've shown that they can finish fights. And you could hear it with both of them. You know, they want to be the champion. That's what they want, and that's what they're going to get.
Well, yeah, now they get the chance to prove it, right?
Absolutely.
All right, man. So the main event of the evening for GSP's vacant title that he left behind, for all the reasons we discussed earlier, Johnny Hendricks, who in some people's opinion should have the title anyway, versus Robbie Lawler, who has been around for, it seems like, ever.
Yeah, he's been around forever. He's been a champion in his own right in a couple, two or three organizations, but never the UFC.
Has he gotten a title shot in the UFC?
No, he's only been back for 3 fights, and they were just, you know, fights, and you know, kind of worked it way out with GSP leaving. So
okay,
you can see in his eyes, you can see with the way he's talking, he's like, I'm fucking ready now. I'm ready for this title shot. I wasn't ready in the past. I'll be willing to say that now. I wasn't ready in the past, but seems like he's ready now.
I gotta tell you, man, going back to watching the weigh-ins and just some of the stuff with Robbie, I've always been kind of a Robbie Lawler fan. I love the way he goes into box. And that's really, you know, he goes in to punch and to get punched. Like, he's not afraid to get hit in the face. And I've always loved that about him. But you can tell the years of working with Matt Hughes, like, he's a boring dude, man. Like, he's so steadfast with his emotions, and like, he's a calm, just kind of boring guy, man.
I don't know about boring. I think maybe he opens up to his friends, but maybe that's just his persona. He doesn't want to put out there in the public.
Well, yeah, that's all I'm saying. I mean, I don't know him as a person. I'm not judging him as a human being. Like, I just mean, you know, how he comes off with like you said, his persona.
And you know, there's reasons why other people do other things. You know, he knows that he can go in there and knock people out, and that's how he gets his fan base. He doesn't even go on a chase on the 405 in Los Angeles or, you know, do a whole bunch of stuff to get his name out there. You know, Robbie Lawler's going to go in there and knock you the fuck out, most likely. And one of my all time favorite fights, and this goes against what a conventional champion is. If you watch this fight in Strikeforce when he fought Melvin Manhoef.
Oh,
getting the shit beat out of them.
Yes, he was.
His leg just completely chopped off by Melvin Manhoef. He was gonna get knocked out probably, and he comes back, and like if we went to the second round, his corner may have stopped it because his leg was that chopped up. He comes out and knocks this guy out. If you Google that fight and you watch tomorrow, you're going to be like, oh, that guy can always do that. And he's knocked out the past. Well, he didn't knock out Robbie or Rory McDonald in his last fight, which was also a really good fight that went to decision. But he knocked out Volker. He knocked out Koscheck. He looks good. He looks good. He's back at 170 for his past three fights. He's been at 185 before that. He looks good. And I don't know. What do you think about the weight cut with Johnny Hendricks?
You know, I was going to get to that because at the weigh-ins, you know, three guys on the undercard were unable to make weight. Three guys had to get naked. I think one of them made the weight by a half a pound, and then the other two didn't. I don't know if they went back and did. I know Johnny went back and did, right? Like he had to cut in a whole pound and a half because it's a title fight.
Correct.
Yes. I was unaware that that was the rule for a title fight, but okay, whatever. So he has to go back and he loses another pound and a half, and he did it. Obviously, that's never the way you want to go into the day before your fight. I mean, that talk about energy draining, dude. But once again, these guys are such high level professionals that, you know, hopefully he has a good team around him that is really taking care of him right now and making sure he's ready. That's really the only way to look at it, which I'm sure he does. You know, he's a high level fighter, and that's what those guys are for. But it does, you know, we talked about the cutting before, you know, that it's an important part for these guys. This isn't the first time that Johnny Hendricks has had to make this cut, though.
Seems surprised, so I don't think maybe something was off, maybe something wasn't, but his second time around it didn't seem like he was jumping around and shit after he got it. It's not like he was looking dehydrated and looked like
really drawn out.
I think this was just a thing that got calculated. It happened the second time. He's a NCAA Division I wrestling champion, you know, like he's been there, he's been cutting weight most of his life, you know,
right?
So it's different for some other people, but I think he knew what he was getting himself into. I think maybe it's just a miscalculation, and he was honestly shocked. He was just like, well, shit, you know, like it's not like he went into the weigh-in thinking that he was over. So,
which you could tell some of the other guys already knew, man. I could tell by the looks on their faces that they already knew they were going to have to strip down, and nobody was like pissed off, like looking at their training crew, like, what the shit, man, this is wrong. But it did feel like I was kind of wondering what the deal was, because there were four dudes over the course of the whole card that had to reweigh.
Yeah.
You know, like that's a lot for one card.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on. And I don't think that this will be a big deal. If it was like Anthony Rumble Johnson trying to cut like 50 an hour before his fight or something like that. You know, this is a different story, but I don't think Johnny Hendricks has any issue making 170. So
didn't he miss weight by like 5 pounds his last fight?
Miss weight by like fucking 20 pounds. Like,
oh, 50. was it that bad?
He's missed weight by a lot before. I think when he fought Vitor Belfort, I think he weighed in 178 or something. I forget who it was. Whoever he fought, and he weighed in 170. 78 pounds is 18 pounds over the weight.
Yeah, that still to this day, the funniest missed weight I've ever seen, though, was when Gina Carano missed weight. And I think it was the Cyborg fight. And she missed weight and blamed it on her period.
Yeah, I wish guys could blame it on their fucking period.
Dude, what do you think about the potential of Gina Carano, Ronda Rousey?
It's just talks, man. And Gina hasn't fought in 5 years, so I don't even know what to say about that. I don't know if she's training, or I don't know what it is. It's just rumors until I see something that this card is booked, I can say.
You know what I instantly thought was, you know, it sounds good because like the article that I had read said she's under contract technically. I don't think anybody's banging on her door saying you got to come fight and fulfill this contract. But Ronda was very, you know, for what she's done to the sport, like I would love to fight her. And if I'm Gina Carano, I'm thinking, man, I'll go into a training camp and take that fight because after she whoops the fuck out of me, I can retire. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, if she just came out right now and said, I'm not going to honor my contract, you know, without even attempting to fight, that would look pretty bad. But if she went into the ring with Ronda Rousey, into the octagon, I mean, with Ronda Rousey and just got whooped up on in the first round, you know, she could come out of that saying, you know what, I have to retire. And everyone would be like, that's fine. We understand. Go act. Which, by the way, I'm going to say this real quick, talking about her acting. I was actually really disappointed that she didn't get the role of Wonder Woman in the upcoming Superman sequel. So that's my geek out moment of the podcast.
Yeah, now you're speaking Spanish to me, dog.
Anyway, so that's the main card for UFC 171.
I will say I am rooting for Robbie Lawler. He is always entertaining, and honestly, I would love for him to win and him fucking fight Nick Diaz again. I think that could be the greatest fight ever.
You know that's not gonna happen.
Never know, man. You know fucking Nick will get whatever the fuck he wants to if he starts talking shit.
It does feel that way, doesn't it? I mean, it does really. And I mean, Chael Sonnen's been doing it, so you know why not? You know, Nick. I don't think it'll ever happen. I think Nick is, dude, I don't want to say he's done because I want to see him fight again, but he just, I don't think he can win. You know, if that happened because Nick talked himself into that fight, I mean, who's picking Nick?
I'm picking Nick, man.
Please.
Lawler out. He's the only one ever to knock Robbie Lawler out, and it wasn't a fluke. He knocked him on his face.
Oh, that fight was epic.
That was an epic fight. Who wouldn't want to see that again?
I don't think you're getting that fight again, though. I don't think Nick is in that. Nick's not in the same place he was at that fight.
I think he's above that.
Do you really?
His boxing, that was 10 years ago, it seems like.
It was a while, man.
UFC 47 in 2004. That was 10 years ago, man. And he's still Nick Diaz, but his boxing is so sharp.
They fight in Strikeforce?
No, they've only fought twice. Or I'm sorry, they've only fought once in the UFC.
Right. And they didn't fight in Strikeforce?
Not a fight in Strikeforce.
Okay. All right.
That's just the boy's dream, you know. I would love
this. Well, I'm going against you only because I'm one of those people that feel that Johnny Hendricks actually beat GSP. So I want to see him get what he earned, in my opinion. I do love Robbie Lawler, and I've liked him for a long time. I love watching him fight, and I'm actually a little worried about this fight because Robbie he can be a counterpuncher. So we're, you know, talking about the whole title thing and, you know, fight not to lose. I would hate to see this fight go to decision because these guys are both knockout artists. But I fear that it may, so it'll be based on who strikes better and, whether or not Johnny actually goes for a ground game, which I don't know that he will, but there's always that possibility.
Yeah. I have no idea, but you know, I always look forward to seeing Robbie Lawler. He always comes there and fights, and who doesn't want to see a knockout, you know? Who doesn't want to see something that you probably couldn't think of even could happen? And that's what you get whenever you see Robbie Lawler go in the cage.
All right, man. So we'll be watching the fight tomorrow. Hope everybody out there enjoys the fights. Yeah, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate you coming on and talking MMA with us.
Thanks for having me. If anyone wants to look at anything I'm doing, I'm at Farhan Arman, FarHanArmand, and FarhanArmand.com.
Woo! All right, man. Later.
Thanks, man.
All right. So that was my podcast with my buddy Farhan Arman. We really covered the fight card pretty well, in my humble opinion. I hope everybody enjoyed it. We will be doing a follow-up to the fight card Sunday, I think we're going to be recording that, and then we'll have that out for you guys Monday morning to start off our busy week over at Quinn Media. Once again, I am Seth Knupp. I am at Fearless Fandom on Twitter, and you can follow me as well as Farhan, as well as my parent company, whom I love very much, at Quinn Media. head on over to those and check out what we're doing. A lot of pro wrestling, a lot of games, a lot of awesome stuff. Head over to quinnmedia.com, and like I said before the show started, we're doing our bracket challenge right now, so sign up for that so we can get as many people in there as possible, and we'll look forward to seeing you later. Hey, thanks for listening.